Wow. Coming to Robin's Theater, doing a nationwide tour. What brought you to decide to go back to touring in the music end of this? I mean, you were so and are still doing incredibly well in the other side of the industry.
Honestly, I miss the connection with people. I've spent much of the last 30 years kind of locked in a room writing television shows and producing television shows. And what I realized is, having had, considerable success as a young guy with records and acting, performing, I missed that side of it. I was grateful that I was able to transition to the behind-the-scenes part of it, but honestly, melding storytelling, which is my main job, with the music and with a lot of hit songs from back in the day, and kind of weaving them into a narrative that felt authentic to my life now, while still offering whatever nostalgia value the songs will have for the audience, it felt like something I could do in a real way, in a committed way. And, you know, you take 40 years off, you don't know if anybody's going to show up, but gratefully they have, and they seem to be thrilled with this sort of mix of the stories and songs.
Well, let's be honest. You were probably the hottest artist in the late 70s. Every girl's poster child, and then really gone from the industry. Nobody knew what happened. And then here you are. I'll bet those fans are just craving more of you. Am I right? Do they really relate to those songs, those hit songs you had?
They do, but it's kind of come for the songs, leave for the stories. That's what I found out. The original... Like, my last concert back in the day was at the Astrodome in 1980 for 55,000 people. And I said goodnight, not thinking it would be my last concert for 40 years, but it was. And I went off and, you know, I've had this very successful life behind the scenes, and I'm grateful for it. And to be able to go out on a stage now and arguably sing the songs better than I could when I was a kid, because I haven't sung for 40 years, so I didn't burn my voice up. But be able to weave them together with a narrative about my life, about their lives, about my family, about kids, about our business, and offer it to them like a sort of full circle experience. I think it's not only really gratifying for them, it's certainly gratifying for me, but we're also getting a large chunk of the audience who weren't there back in the day. We're seeing a lot of kids in their 20s, which is crazy, but the Hardy Boys has been on TV for like 5 years. It's been on Peacock. So a lot of people in their 20s are coming to the show. I think curiosity. I think they like the show. They see a guy who looks like Joe Hardy's father on the stage. But
right, but...
Whatever, you know. And the show's emotional. The show's funny. It's really funny. And it has a narrative arc. So it's not just a concert. And yet... the band is as good a band as I've ever played with. I mean, and we're really a band. It's not just me with people backing me up. We're a band.
Well, I can't imagine you not being totally professional. Your background from your family, from your mom and your dad, from you and what you've done in the past. Am I right? Everything is just boom, boom, boom. You know what you're doing out there.
Well, I've relearned it. And again, it's a different version because, you know, last time I did it, when I was a young guy, it was just a scream-a-thon, and I couldn't really talk at all. So being able to engage with people directly and have a shared experience with them. And the other part of it is, I mean, the show's called The Road to Us. It's not called The Road to Me. And because I want to have a shared experience with the audience, I feel it's so important now to get people out of their house and out from behind a computer or whatever, especially post-pandemic when we were all locked down. Getting people out and just having a connection with whatever, a movie or a Broadway show or a concert, whatever it is, but having that experience together in the same room is irreplaceable.
What's the difference between performing today and performing, and even getting this thing started? Was it an overwhelming task to say, we're going to go back on the road and let's try this?
Yeah, and it was scary, and you don't know if anybody's going to show up, and you know, you don't know if you're going to like it. I didn't know if I'd enjoy it. I didn't know how I didn't know initially, like, how do I sing these songs that I sang when I was 18 with any authenticity as a guy in his 60s? Because one of the reasons I didn't perform for so long is I was always wary of looking like one of those people was trying to replicate the success they had as a kid. Because I just thought that would be ridiculous. And fortunately, I didn't have to. I mean, I was, and still am, I'm in the middle of writing a pilot for NBC right now. I'm in the hotel room all day writing, and then I go to soundcheck, and I go do a show, and I get in the car and drive a few hours to the next town, and then I write some more, and I'm busy, but I'm grateful, and I'm happy, and the shows are going amazing. It's a very emotional experience, and I don't mean that it's people are crying the whole show. There is some of that, but you know, it's also really funny. So people that don't necessarily know me, or you know, the husband who gets dragged along, who's my favorite audience member, by the way, that guy leaves going, I like that. The band was great, and the stories are funny. So it's a different experience than I ever had. It's more like a combo plate of everything I've done.
I mean, how many in the audience didn't even realize you were involved with American Gothic and all of those other amazing shows you've done?
I'm not sure they all do now. The show I was on for the last 5 years was New Amsterdam, which is a medical show. I was a writer-producer on that show. That show was a big hit, and it got a lot of positive response. But I started crafting this live show while I was doing New Amsterdam. And I did an early incarnation of the show called The Magic of a Midnight Sky, which is a line from Hey Dini, which was a hit of mine that Eric Carmen wrote. But I was, you know, working on New Amsterdam while I was workshopping this, and I found out the two actually serve each other. I like working on multiple projects at the same time because I can step away from one and approach the other one with fresh eyes. And I really approached this show not as an old school concert, but as a show.
Mm-hmm.
Again, but not like a variety show, not like with, you know, dancing girls and all that, but like a play that happens to have music in it. And the music are songs that a lot of people know. And I have written some new songs specific to the show, which you can download on iTunes or Spotify or whatever, stream. And they play an integral part in the show, too. But again, the stories and the connection I feel with the audience, not just the ones who were kids when I was at the Astrodome, but new audience members, is really moving to me. It's a profound experience.
What did your family think when you said, hey, I think I'm going to go on the road and perform again?
Well, it's so funny you asked that question because I literally talk about that in the show. I have a lot of kids. I have 7 kids.
Okay.
But none of these kids were alive when I said goodnight at the Astrodome. I was done. So the kids grow up with a guy who goes to an office. They're not even sure what I'm doing there, but I'm writing television, producing television. So imagine your dad, right? All your life goes to an office. And then one day shows up at the breakfast table and says, hey, kids, guess what? I think I'm going to be a rock star. Right? So dad is clearly having a nervous breakdown. And they've been funny. You know, they came to my show and still come. And like, they look at this audience. There's a lot of screaming still.
Yeah.
You know, and they see people laughing and crying. And they're like, what the hell is going on? That's dad.
Yeah.
Like another funny version of illuminating this, my youngest daughter's 14, and she's got a big poster of Harry Styles in her room. And one day her mom walked in and pointed at the poster and said to her, he said, you know, that was your dad. And my daughter was like, that guy in his robe in the kitchen with Harry Styles?
Actually, you were bigger than Harry Styles, in my opinion.
Well, thank you, but you know what I mean. It was all relative.
Right.
So much. Look, the show's called The Road to Us. It's not The Road to Me, and it really is because I wanted to share it with everybody. I wanted them to have the experience again of, you know, going with a girlfriend to a concert and or having the experience for the first time.
You know, how grateful are you that you made it through that rock era, and instead of going off some deep end and going down in some wherever rabbit hole that many people go to, you've had a very successful personal life and professional life elsewhere.
Yeah, not without challenges for sure, but I am really grateful. And I think a large part of the show is a survival story too, because people often ask me, like, how did you get through it? How did you make it? Because to your point, a lot of people don't. Mm. It's really hard when you're a young person to carry the weight of all that kind of success and attention and people wanting a part of you, a piece of you. And I think if I got through with any dignity or grace, it's because I was able to watch three other members of my family go through it in various ways. My father, Broadway star, television actor, Emmy nominee, Tony winner. My mother, an Academy Award winner at 25 and big musical movie star, and then star of the Partridge Family with my brother David, who I also watched go through it. And all three of them handled it differently, good, bad, everything in between. And I got to go to school. So I not only, learned kind of how to sing by listening to my parents, but I learned how to manage our business, and I learned how to treat people in our business, and ultimately learned that what they did, which was singing and acting, was not my main passion. It was writing.
It's coming up very soon, December 5th, here in at the Robbins Theater in Warren, which is a beautiful, old school theater that your dad and mom probably would have appreciated.
Well, I can tell you for certain, I played Warren in a theater before, not that one, but my mother, when she was, when I was like 15, she would often go out in the summertime and do summer stock, and there were a series of theaters in Ohio called the Kenley Players.
Yeah.
And one of them was in Warren, one of them was in Dayton, one of them was in Columbus. And I went with her, and the first time I was ever on a stage was in Warren, Ohio. So I have a very romantic feeling about Ohio generally and Warren specifically. So I remember cornfields, and I remember, chorus girls, and I like Ohio.
Well, you'll love it to honor the legacy of those kind of theaters. They really put a love into it. I think you're going to enjoy it.
Well, I can't wait. And I specifically asked my agent to book me in theaters, old school theaters, theaters that, not only had, maybe vaudeville shows if they're 100 years old, but, that Buddy Holly and Elvis may have back in the day, because it's the perfect size and it's the perfect setting. And for me, ultimately more gratifying than even the arenas I played as a young guy.
Nice. Well, Sean, good luck with the show, and congratulations on this. And I look forward to whatever else you have coming up. Apparently, you've got another show that you're working on, and I'm sure it'll be successful as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it. And say hey to everybody and Warren for me.